Music, among other things.
Music among other things.
Music among other things.
All right, cool. So we haven't got Neil on the show this week, but we're joined by Richard, who is eating his dinner. What are you chomping down on?
Just some sort of curry. I didn't make, but it seems to be all right.
Nondescript curry.
Yeah, just a veggie curry.
Sounds great, man.
Yeah, I couldn't have sold it any better.
And we're also joined by Rob Weaver, who used to be in a band with Richard called Tusker. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
How's it going? You okay?
Very good, thank you. Not bad.
Good, good. So, I mean, we got you on the show this week because Richard suggested that you had got somewhat involved in the whole Bitcoin game. I don't know how true this is, but you were sort of our closest thing to an expert. And I know you're sort of claiming not to be an expert at all, but I thought it'd be interesting to get you on because obviously you're a bit in the music world and you seem to know a little bit about crypto. So obviously we've seen a lot of stuff in the last few weeks just around non-fungible tokens and things of that nature. And Rich, I think it was the article you sent me about Grimes that begun this snowball.
Sorry about that. She's selling artwork, isn't she?
Yeah, so she created like a digital piece of artwork, which was, I'm trying to find it. It was a cherubs flying in the desert landscape. And it went for like, how much did you say it went for, Rob?
I thought 60 grand, but it might have been a bit higher than that. Rich, you said like a couple of million or something, didn't you?
No, she had two auctions. Well, I think from what I read, so she did like the main auction where people with a fair bit of money could put bids in.
Yeah.
It looks like she did. It looks like, so basically she did a 50-second video, which sold for 390 grand.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's not bad.
That is insane.
The bid was like, so each bidder couldn't see how much other people were bidding, right? They just had a time frame to put in their highest bid.
So blind, is that called blind bidding?
Or blind bid, I guess so. You're the expert, mate.
Yeah. I'm not really up on like the crypto world. That was the first time I heard about it. And obviously we've seen it in the press in recent weeks. Were you like familiar with it at all before, Rob?
My partner's, Tash's, I would say my partner, Tash's brother's quite into it. He deals with a bit of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. He doesn't do it as much, but back like 5-6 years ago. And then another one of my friends has definitely reaped the rewards from investing into crypto from like 6 years ago as well. So just free conversation with those guys.
Oh, fair play. And I mean, in terms of like your involvement in the Bitcoin game, like what have you like done in terms of that? Are you just got your fingers in a few pies?
I follow it and sort of I do a bit of research on it just to find out more about, you know, what it is. But actually where I come into play is I invest a little bit into something called like Riot Blockchain. So that is it's a Bitcoin mining company. So they literally mine Bitcoin. So that's where my link comes in with it mainly.
When they say mining, obviously, I just don't know. I can't grasp the concept of what mining is. Is that like they're just creating like the digital coding for
it? So what it is, and once again, I could be completely wrong with this, but from what I remember reading is that when Bitcoin first was made, basically there's a limited amount of Bitcoins in the world. Well, in the world, within a system, not even in the world. It's not a physical thing, right? So what it was is to get a Bitcoin, a computer has to solve certain algorithms. And I think in total, once again, I'm a bit off here, but it's something like this. Maybe like it's a random number, like 4.7 million Bitcoins in the world. And currently so far has been mined is like 3 million Bitcoin. So there's still another 1.7 to go.
Yeah.
And what it is, yeah, these companies buy hundreds and hundreds of computers, and they just have them constantly running, trying to work out algorithms to get these Bitcoins. And you get something like each time you solve an algorithm, you get, once again, number as well off here, it could be somewhere between like 300 to 300 Bitcoins. And that's once it's solved. So these companies are just spending loads. And I know I saw something that you had sent to me, Sean, about one of the things which makes these make crypto so environmentally friendly, economically friendly or whatever, it's the fact that these computers are just constantly running, and they cost a bomb. The electricity bills on these are just huge. So that's where you hear these stats about Bitcoin, like these companies, and Bitcoin alone is using the same amount of energy as like Austria or Switzerland. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So to put it down into like basics, a Bitcoin, rather than imagining a coin, it's an algorithm.
It's a token. What it is it's a token. But this, they have, I don't know where this is stored necessarily, but it's like, imagine it's centralized on some computer, and basically you've got loads of other computers trying to mine, using the term mine, these Bitcoins. And the only way that you can obtain these Bitcoins is by solving algorithms, and then you receive the Bitcoins.
I think you're going to ask what I was about to ask, Rich, because my question is always like, who put them there in the first place? I don't know, that's a dumb question.
It was, and hold on, I think his name, I always get this wrong, and we say a he because it might, I say a he, but actually it's, we don't know who actually started Bitcoin. It's kind of like,
it's like an anonymous like creator.
It's just going against sort of the banking systems, where you have the banks in the middle, and it stops for it, you know, it's to prevent things like fraudulence happening, all those sort of things. So that's where it started. It was literally just either a random person or a random group of people just decided to do it, and it was picked up, and people saw it, people started to look into it, realize actually this is super super secure, this could be really really a viable way of creating a new type of currency, which is faster, more efficient and safer, and obviously then using this technology is where NFTs come into play, because you suddenly can benefit from it being so safe and hard to sort of hack into.
Obviously I understand like gold, you know, paper money, coins, like when you do think about it, someone just decided that that was valuable at some point, more valuable than a piece of wood. Right. Yeah. But someone just randomly creating this idea of Bitcoin and saying, cool, there's like however many Bitcoin available. At what point does that become valuable and start? Because obviously one Bitcoin is like worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it is at the moment, but
it's, well, I know in pounds, it's at 39,000 or just gone above. So I think today was like £39,600. So it had a bit of a leap because this is just Bitcoin. I don't know about all crypto, but Bitcoin has had a bit of a crash over the past 2 weeks, I think.
Due to Elon Musk, right?
Well, so it's kind of like it's a weird crossover where Elon Musk basically managed that, or helped it anyway shoot up to I think it at one point got to like 41,000, and then when it got to 41,000 he then put out another tweet going, oh, this might be a bit overpriced, and so it shot it back down, and got everyone worried because he was the one, I think everyone has so much faith in him and what he says, that the market, once again, the market is just, it's everyone's emotions being displayed as a number. That's all it is. So when people get scared, they're like, oh shit, I need to sell my, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on this podcast or not.
Yeah.
I'm allowed.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, oh crap, like, oh, now it's dropping, I'm gonna sell my Bitcoin, and each time, you know, that gets sold, it moves the value of it down. So yeah. And that's kind of what's happened with that, which is just, it's just that he has so much power. He can just, at the moment, he can just, like, he could just shoot anything up. It's a bit like, I don't know if you guys saw, oh, what's it called? Oh, Wall Street Bets. Have you heard about that?
No, don't think so.
So what, it kind of has worked in the same vein. This is going a bit off topic with crypto, but so Wall Street Bets is this Reddit forum, which is just, it's full of something like 300,000 people on this forum. And to once again go against a little bit, go against the establishment and against Wall Street, they would just say, right, go. So the company is called GameStop, which they first did it on. They're like, right, we're all going to buy stocks in GameStop. And so suddenly all these people, this news gets out and everyone goes buys it and just shoots the value of it up. But GameStop is cool. It's like it's basically called a brick and mortar type business. So it's not digital. So it's a bit like Blockbuster. It's literally like the game version of Blockbuster. Yeah, yeah. And it's not real the digital world. Yeah. And basically just rocketed the price of this up.
Wow.
But this is like mad. Elon Musk's like, he can just say anything. He's just like, yeah, just go buy Tetley's tea bags. And suddenly the value of Tetley's will just shoot up.
Yeah.
Which is mad.
Yeah, that is insane.
Oh, man, imagine being in that position where you could do
that. I know. Just snap your fingers and it happens.
That also just shows like fragility of the economy and what stuff is actually worth. That's just ridiculous. How can there ever be a fair system when it works like that?
Well, and once again, like with this GameStop thing, suddenly government come in, try to imply, like, try and basically put new regulations in place so this can't happen again. And there's like a lot of classic people saying, so, you know, people like you and I were making loads and loads of money off of this thing. But what was happening is making the people who are richer poorer, because they're doing something called shorting, which is basically, it's almost where you bet against the company dropping. So you're betting against the value of the company to drop in price. But it's a bit of the reason why people don't like it is because you're kind of like, you're trying to make a business go bust. You kind of want business to go bust, which is just, seen as immoral. So they pushed against it. And then, legislation, like they tried to bring some legislation in. But everyone was like, you know, you're trying to tell everyone to go make money. All the rich are like, oh, you know, go make money. And then they try. And then they're like, oh, hold on now, you're affecting us lot. So we need to put some legislation in there so you can't make that money, which is, it's funny.
God, it's dicey territory. It's like, I always think this, you know, with the internet, it's almost like they have to almost like rewrite the Ten Commandments or something. You know what I mean? Because there's just a lawless land out there right now. It sounds crazy. And I feel really out of my depth talking about all these financial terms and stuff like that. But,
this is a podcast about music, isn't it? I'm talking about other things. I'm talking about GameStop and Bitcoin at the moment.
So. Well, that's a good point, though, because I felt so distant from it for so long, obviously, until you started talking to me about bloody stocks and shares a couple of months ago. Now I'm well into it. But but in terms of like the way I do my life, it's always felt really separate to any sort of like stocks or cryptocurrency or anything like that. I haven't had to think about it. But then when these articles start coming up and it's to do with like artwork or musicians and stuff like that, and you hear actually it's been going on since like what, 2013?
Yeah.
And suddenly it's like, oh, that's actually something that I'm quite heavily involved in, and it's creeping in.
And it can be the amazing thing is it can be for smaller artists like quite a viable way of making money, especially at the moment. I think there's probably going to be a bit of a trend where people like want to buy something through an NFT, like people like the idea of it. So at the moment, as a smaller artist, you can kind of, which is great, and I'm all into this, sort of hop on the bandwagon and sell your art and hope that, you know, someone sees some value in that. And it's it's something different. Yeah, it's cool. And there's all sorts of benefits to it.
I'd say before, because I want to get into like particularly this side of things, but I reckon first of all, in terms of like the definition of a non-fungible token,
it's basically a non, it's untradeable. So unlike once again like Bitcoin, you can trade one Bitcoin for another. With NFTs, basically, kind of, you can't swap it for anything else. It can only be passed on. It, that one can only be passed on, and you can't make replicas of it. But you will have a much better explanation than me. That's me hacking one.
I think that's pretty close though. So basically, in terms of like artwork and music, that shows that that piece that you bought is legit because it has one NFT attached to
it. it's the original, so it's almost like putting that signature on like a digital asset that you haven't been able to have before, because you know, ever since file sharing, you know, everything's, you know, everybody can access music or can access these things, but if you got these things, it's like it's almost like a digital collectible item. That's what some people are referring to it as. And it's been propping up in the art world, like we just said with Grimes. There's also, I don't know if you've seen this, Rob, but there's like this sort of video of this Donald Trump looking figure collapsed on the ground. He's got all these like words written over him, like insults and stuff. And that's, I think that's at 6.6 million or something.
Oh, and I've seen some numbers. There's been some crazy ones. What was his name? It was called like Beeple or something.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Beeple sold something for like 6.6 million, and everyone's just going, "How is that worth that much?" And then I thought the interesting one, or quite a funny one, was the Gucci Ghost. Have you heard about that one?
I haven't heard about that one.
So it's literally just like it's almost like a GIF of a ghost with Gucci logo, and that was initially sold for 3,600 or something. It's literally just like a GIF, and now it looks like it's going to be sold for like 16,000 or something. It's that quite funny.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
It's just like, I think it's just almost like hard to get your head around the fact that you pay this much for something, but you don't actually, because when I think of like collectible, or say if like it's something you leave your grandkids when you die, I can't imagine them leaving them a hard drive with like the Gucci Ghost in it or something. it's more like, you know, you associate with like antiques or something, but it's almost like digital assets have needed this to be able to, I don't know, actually be a bit more worthwhile, because I think particularly the music industry has been looking for that since it's become a bit devalued from streaming services, because that's at the stage now we're all paying what, less than a tenner a month. And we can listen to every song ever, and there's like no value attached to that. And it's just interesting to look into it from like whether it can be used for like new bands. Because at the moment we've only seen like big players like Kings of Leon are the first official people to bring out an album as an NFT, which they did last week. So it's almost like within the package, it's like you can get collectible vinyl, which is gold, a collectible album artwork, and then giving away these golden tickets so you can get shows for life, things of that nature. And
these are physical things.
So I think there's part of it is digital, but they'll be able to get the NFT will enable them to get this really special vinyl that they can only get with an NFT.
And as well, it's basically it's like a certificate of authentication. That's kind of how an NFT works as well, I believe. So if they want to sell it on, they go, yeah, this is legit because I'm the only person with this code/receipt which links to this. And so what it does is that's how it stops fraudulence, because even you think of certificates of authentication, like in the traditional sense of a paper one, it's quite easy to even copy them, but you can't copy this code. It's interesting. And I know as well, which is going to be quite useful, is obviously if it does get sold on, and this is where with smaller artists, so artists can, if they want to, have part of the asset to take like a percentage of each time it gets sold on, so you constantly get paid for each time it gets sold, which is
I think it's like 10%, isn't it?
Yeah, which I think is really interesting.
That's quite a big chunk as well when you think about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, especially each time the value goes up, you can
take
50 quid and then 10% of 500 grand or something, if it ever becomes worth that much, is tidy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for quite a while, musicians or like people in new bands, you tend to see quite good merch from these new bands because they're putting a lot of money into it, because they actually get more money from that than actually playing a show. So if somebody wants to buy a t-shirt, you know, they're going to get more money for that. And you can almost see that being introduced into this world as well, to a certain extent. I mean, I don't know how, because obviously at the moment I've only heard like really big money discussed, but do you think it is something that, you know, these newer bands can jump onto, or like smaller bands anyway?
The more that people are happy to go through the system of NFTs, then I personally think so. But it depends on first of all, when and where you're selling it. I don't know. It's a tough one with smaller bands. I think if you can find a way and the audience and the right people, but I reckon in 10 years' time, this will be the same as chip and pin sort of thing. Like at first, it was a bit alien, and actually, people didn't want to use chip and pin. I know this is a long shout, tenuous. Or let's say something like PayPal. It's going to be a bit more like that. So smaller bands, reckon, will just start hopping on it and being able to be a legit, viable way of making some money. And once again, it gives it a bit of an edge. And at the moment, I think it's going to go into fashion, which will add value to it anyway. People just want this because it seems cool.
Interesting.
That's my personal thought. Hence why people are buying a 50-second Grimes video. I don't think it'll be because they love Grimes in one way, but on another sense, it'll be like, this is just cool. Like, I'm part of this movement in a sense as a whole. This is something unique. Having that status, being like, I was one of the first people to get involved in this and purchase these, and then give it another 50 years time, people might be like, yeah, everyone's got NFTs, so what?
Exactly.
It's not like it can overtake, you know, we're still going to need to use the money that we have now to buy the NFT in the first place.
If you think in the sense as well, like with Bitcoin and everything like that, that's at the moment people are purchasing it with real money. So until everyone's almost like put all their money into it or something like that. But it's a bit of a risk at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
I think also, like, it's probably the process is so alien to some people, as in to me, it seems really alien. I watched, like, a tutorial on how you can get, like, the Kings of Leon NFT if you wanted to, and it seems so complicated. It's like, oh, yeah, you have to go to this site and then put this add-on onto your Chrome, and then you got to do this. And it just seems like the process seems sketchy to me. It's like you're being led further and further down a dark alley. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Especially by aiming at the following wheel.
Well, probably the other side to it is, first of all, I mean, they no doubt hang around with wealthy people, and most wealthy people's portfolios include crypto in some way or another. So it won't seem alien to any band of that size. And the other thing, and this is me in part being a cynic maybe, but I would do the same. I've read a lot in the news about a lot of celebrities and musicians are investing into crypto, so you then getting people to buy stuff through crypto is only going to up the value of your shares or the value of what you own. So get more people to use it, your value goes up. A bit like Elon Musk. He bought a lot of Bitcoin and made like £1.5 billion because he was able to manipulate the market in that sense. And bands like someone like Kings of Leon might be able to do that themselves as well to a certain extent. So it'll be interesting to see their own portfolio. They won't just have their money in a bank account. They'll have all sorts of finances, all different ways of getting income. So investing.
Yeah. No, definitely, definitely. And just to fight the corner, they did say that they're donating all the proceeds to Live Nation's crew fund, I think. So apparently that's where the NFT is going. But I don't know, the followers have probably got their own investments somewhere along the line, I'm sure. But have you heard about, like, some rappers have made their own coins? Is Lil Yachty and Akon, Akoin, his coin's called, and Yachty coin, yeah. But I think this was a few years ago, like in 2018. So there's these people with, yeah, these rappers have made their own coins, but obviously they're only, so I assume when you make a coin, you know, it's only as valuable as that coin. It's not really comparable to anything else. So it sort of runs its course quite quickly. But it seems like a lot of rappers have been up on the game, you know, quite early on. And in terms of, like, the pros and cons of it, there's another con I saw, which was around, like you're saying, bad for the environment, because you've got all these, like, machines working, you know, overkill to get to mine these Bitcoins. There's also the question over, like, royalty payments and ownership, which is quite an interesting one, as in, because somebody could potentially create an NFT for something that they don't own, and then, you know, it can sort of spread. And also maybe the way it's cut, I'm not too sure how, you know, that will work out. If there's, you know, obviously you got all the followers and the band, you know, will they get a cut each if they were actually getting money for themselves? I think that would be like another interesting development in terms of like the whole crypto game. I don't know if you got any insight there, Rob, at all.
That's going to be really interesting because, how do you stop that? That's going to be so hard to stop. That's a weird one. So talk about royalty payments. Is this in the sense that, you know, it's under one person's name, or is that?
Yeah, or it could be, I think it's more around, because technically it's like within cryptocurrency, I know there's sort of laws around who owns what in terms of if you've got like a record deal, you have a certain amount of the publishing. But it's almost like this is like a new territory as well. So it's almost like there's no way that they can show, oh, there's a law that says you own percentage of this crypto or whatever it might be.
With NFTs, it's not like Bitcoin, is it? Bitcoin, you can break a Bitcoin into pieces and buy a certain amount of it, right? You can buy like a third of a Bitcoin.
It is different to sort of crypto. Because I think NFTs, most NFTs are created by Ethereum, as far as I'm aware. So it's kind of like another bit of software that has been created by those guys, I think.
But you can't split these NFTs up, can you? So it's not like they can say, you know, four guys in a band, you each own.
I'm not too sure. And like you said, like how do you create? I'm wondering how you create a legal contract for that as well.
You can't actually buy anything with it in the real world either. So is that just going to sit there forever until they collectively decide to sell it at some point and then they get the money from it, I guess?
Well, they're purchasing an NFT rather than, so they're using real money to purchase the NFT. So that's kind of what's happening. I don't believe they get given a type of cryptocurrency from it. I think they're getting paid in cash.
Because
all NFTs, rather than seeing this as a type of currency, NFT is just using blockchain technology. So blockchain technology.
Oh, right. So Kings of Leon make an NFT for this thing that they're selling you. And you pay them real money and they give you the NFT. Instead of you going to buy an NFT, purchasing however many NFT and then using those to buy your bits of artwork.
NFT is any type of, it can be a sentence. It doesn't matter, but it's a digital version. And like I said, it's basically a digital a certificate of authentication. That's kind of the way to see it. And that's basically when people are buying it, it comes, it comes with that. But as well, they're kind of doing it. So you can get a bit like someone like Grimes, which sent something literally digital. But I imagine with the Kings of Leon thing, like you said, they get doing vinyl records, and then they will get this, like, basically a time stamp, a receipt, it'll have their address, everything like that, which is their, their authentication. That is legit, that what they've purchased is
I reckon the digital scene will shoot up, though. Like, so many digital artists now, like visual artists as well.
Yeah.
And you've got, like music videos, you know, you can do, like, behind-the-scenes footage. There's so much you can do digitally that probably isn't making an awful lot of money right now.
You can create cool stuff on a computer, right? Obviously everyone loves things that's tangible, but there's still going to be a value to something that's just digital. The one thing that I'm kind of imagining as well, are people going to get, like, buy an original, like, imagine getting, like, the Mona Lisa version of a digital picture, whatever that is. Maybe you make something on Photoshop and sell it for, like, £100 million, and then people just basically run it through a projector on their wall all day. Like, they'll do
that's what I was thinking about.
And that's how people, like, you'll suddenly have these museums of just digital art, where it's just a load of projectors on the wall, the original. And like, this is me taking it to another level, and they'll like somehow create a law or like a contract in which this piece of art, like this one file, can only sit here on this one computer and only project here. Like, and they'll just collect it. 500 years time, there'll be like just these museums of NFT, like pictures, audio, like, this is the original one. People pay hundreds of pounds to go see a digital impression on the wall. Sounds great. Yeah,
Mona Lisa.jpg.
on the other end of the spectrum, like, you know, some geezer down here in Malden could just buy some sort of artwork and then just be like, I own, you know, the Mona Lisa. Just come round and watch it on my little MacBook. That's weird, isn't it? Imagine buying something that valuable and you can just access it, like, pretty much anywhere you want to.
Yeah, just like you pop up on your phone, on the tube, you just like, just look at it for a bit. Because that's the thing, if you buy something that's like collectible, if it's like a piece of art, you put it on the wall and it's there to look at or something. But it's just weird to get my head around the fact that somebody will buy like the Gucci Ghost and just going to sit there on a desktop.
Yeah.
Or you can project
back screen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's weird.
It's that, like, you've always walked around the park and thought, I'd really like to see, like, you know, this really famous Francis Bacon piece, but it's all the way up in London. I'll just get it on my phone now while I'm walking around the park.
That's what we're kind of down now.
I think the battle in value is what they're saying. For example, with all of this, like the Grimes video, which sold for however much I said earlier, people went and saw it and just downloaded it themselves. And so the only value of it, and this is where it's different from paintings, like you literally only have one painting and it can't be replicated. As this digital art can be replicated 100 times, the only thing that you really have, which makes it the original, is just the timestamp. Apart from that, it's literally just a digital copy.
Yeah, and it's exactly that's it. Yeah.
But people will hold value in that. Being just humans, we like to have, what's it called? Status. Sorry, that's what I'm looking for. It's having status that you've got
the original.
Maybe we should release this episode as an NFT. Get really meta about it. See how it goes. You never know.
And then as long as I've got to work out how to split the 10%, because I want my fair share.
Oh, yeah. Let's get that sorted, first of all, before we get into any dicey territory. Some crypto lawyer hits me up out the dark web. There was another like success case I saw. There was this electronic music producer called Blau, I think is how you say it. But he sold 33 NFTs for a total of 11 million. So that involved, like, you could get like a platinum plated vinyl record. And also, the highest bidder who paid $3 million for a token will get to collaborate with him on a brand new single as well. So they're sort of giving out packages like that, which is quite interesting. I was also just looking into like music in general and seeing if like any of the like the crypto themes have like seeped into any of like the sort of lyrical content or pop music or anything. And there's this Japanese group called the Cryptocurrency Girls. I don't know if you watched the video I sent you guys.
I didn't see that on the link. I missed that. How did I miss that?
I know. Don't worry, man. But basically, they're like the group's name is how do you say it? Kasotsuka Sajo, which translates to the Virtual Currency Girls. And essentially, they've got 8 members, and they each of them represent a different type of cryptocurrency. So you've got one who plays Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple, etc. And their sort of status is they want to promote the idea for entertainment and virtual currencies are not just a tool for speculation, but a wonderful technology that will shape the future. So that's a hell of a sort of statement to have on like, I don't know, as a musician or something.
That's the top of their priority in terms of what they need to talk about is cryptocurrency or everything that's going on in the world. And then they're like, but guys, crypto, you know, fuck all the world.
I guess it's the newest punk thing, isn't it? It's like, you know, rebelling against some sort of system,
which
I get in a way.
And to be fair, in Japan, like, don't know how crypto's perceived. It might be a lot bigger and a bit even more against the man sort of thing there.
Yeah, potentially.
I'm sort of predicting that. I think financial terminology will become more of a thing in pop music. I don't know why, I just got this feeling that's going to happen. Like, there's this like Justin Bieber song a few years ago where he refers to his sort of girlfriend as heart full of equity, you're an asset, he says. But I don't know, I feel like this whole non-fungible token thing in the music world is going to, you know, bring in some more financial terminology into like love songs and stuff.
Into love songs?
Yeah. I just got this like, you know, this prediction that is going to happen. I can't really think of any examples.
Well, like, apart from that, Justin Bieber one.
Well, that's another one actually.
Well, maybe like instead of buying a house together, you're buying some sort of Bitcoin.
That's like this is really sad because I was watching Keeping Up with Kardashians. That's the only way you'd be able to. this is obviously with Tash, but what is it? Kanye West. You know, when they were together, R.I.P. on that.
Yeah.
He bought Kim Kardashian for her birthday, like major shares in Nike and Disney, and it was like this romantic gift of shares, which is pretty much the most dull ever.
I wonder how he presented the gift. Did they show the sort of unveiling? Was it in like a box and it's like a printout or something?
It was honestly, I feel like it was something weird, like just a Nike badge or something weird. It was like, I can't remember, but it was like a pair of shoes, and she was like, oh sweet, thanks for the shoes. He's like, yeah, well, there's more to it. And then was like, just like, I bought you some shares. It's like, sweet. To be fair, Nike shot up this year, so she's probably laughing now, especially after, you know, if they break up, she's ended up with a bit of money. I mean, not that she needs any more money, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, very true. I mean, how do you think it would go down with your girlfriend if you were like, darling, I just bought us a Lysa, and within 40 years when we retire, we're going to have a hell of a vacation?
Yeah.
Do you think that would go down well?
Absolutely not. No. Tash would hate that. Although she did get a bit excited when I bought some shares for her, but not for her. She literally gave me the money. That was like at the beginning of all this, and it did all right, so she was quite happy. But as a gift, you know, it's her birthday this month, and I reckon if I rocked up with some Disney shares, she would be like, oh my god. That would not go down well.
Well, if you fancy trying it, mate, do it and then report back to us. You can tell us
the reaction.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll definitely film the reaction. If you guys can choose a shit, like choose a company for me to invest into, think of something really sexy and exciting, like Tesco's, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Amstrad. Something like that. All right. Well, good chatting to you both. Thanks for coming on, Rob, giving us some knowledge there. And thanks to Rich. Rich, do you feel like you've learned about crypto today? Do you feel ready to invest, or are you staying away from it?
I don't know, mate. I think I've learned that I need to go and learn about crypto.
Yeah, I definitely need to do some more reading.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Cheers, Rob.
Nice one.
Thank you.